Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Oh, hey, PC, want to see the website and home movie I made?
Oh, I'm so creative and all my programs are so easy to use.
PC.
Well, some things never change, Mac. Some things never change.
What is that supposed to mean?
So you want to see my pictures, PC? I have a better idea. How about I calculate how much time you've just wasted?
Mm-hmm. PC. You want to see him?
Actually, I have a better idea. Why don't I calculate how much time you just wasted?
What? You talking to my hello? The heck?
Sorry.
Wow.
It's hello time.
Podcast fail.
Give me a break.
I spelled fail over my punk keyboard. That's why.
That's shocking. Hello and welcome to Cast Fast 30 plus minute Apple conversation. You're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Join me today, the founder of Cultimac, author of 6 Apple books, creator of the very painful London Handshake. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Erfan. I'm not banned from Twitter,
yet. Also with us, managing editor of Cultimac, formidable darts athlete. And LK says he gives a pretty gosh darn good shoulder rub. Lewis Wallace is here.
It's all in the fingertips.
Is that the key?
Yeah, to both of those pursuits.
Also with me, sitting right across from me right now, I'm looking deep into his eyes. What color are those, Hazel?
Hazel.
Ooh, my goodness. He's even better. He's even more delicious in person. The one, the only, Buster Heine is here.
Oh, hey. How's it going, man?
Drove up to Seattle just to do the show with me.
I'm going to go home right after.
I wasn't sure we were going to make this happen.
Yeah.
I thought you were just going to do it from the van somewhere in a parking lot.
I should have. Tried to.
Is this not great? Yeah. Doing it facing each other?
Yeah, every day. It should be like
this. So much better. I got to see the candy van.
Candy van.
Where Buster invites you to come back for something real sweet.
Oh.
I saw the deck on top.
Some puppies.
Oh, the party deck? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm very envious.
It gets
and
wild.
I was telling Buster, it looks less rapey than I had pictured it in my mind, and it looks more just like if a plumber just decided to not go to work the next day and to just drive around the country in his plumbing van.
Yeah,
it's like a more modern van than I had pictured.
Oh,
it.
Okay.
You know, it's newer. Yeah,
thanks.
It's not like a 1975 van with bubble windows on the back or anything. So it's great to have Buster here in person because we got such a good show for you today. Leander is insisting that we talk about the Alex Jones aftermath, a small discussion on our last show, which got more engagement on Twitter than I think we've ever had on any show. I honestly wasn't expecting to get as much as we did. I didn't think that people cared about this topic as much as they ended up caring. And I shouldn't call it the after Alex Jones thing. That's a misnomer. It's a freedom of speech discussion. And the example was what happened to Alex Jones on Apple podcasts and, all throughout the internet now. So Leander wants to talk about that. So we'll do that. Big news about the Apple Car. We'll tell you about the recent developments and why we may actually see an Apple Car come out after all the talk about how it wasn't going to happen. Now it looks like, yes, it actually is going to be a real car. So we'll talk about that. And if you stay tuned to the end, we're going to have a discussion about our most loved gadgets. I was thinking about, out of all the things that we reviewed, we've been doing this show, I don't know, I think we've been doing it for almost 7 years. I think we're getting on 7 years. We're either getting on 6 years or 7 years. Buster and I were trying to figure it out before the show. And out of all those things that we have used in that time, which gadget do you find yourself using? Which one has become indispensable in your life? And I think we have a couple each that we will touch on. So it's going to be interesting to hear what you guys are still loving to use. Before we dive into the first story here, let me give a quick thanks to Squarespace for supporting this episode. I use Squarespace for all my website needs. I love Squarespace. And I know you're like, dude, they're sponsoring your show. Of course you say that. Yes, but I have been paying for Squarespace for years and years and years. They don't give it to me for free. And I like it because it's so simple to use. It's the easiest website that I have ever seen to get set up. It's beautiful. You use their template system to drag and drop all your elements into your web page. And before you know it, you have a beautiful website up on the web. It looks uniquely yours. You can have it up in 5 minutes if you want, or you can really dive in and customize everything and spend 2-3 hours and make it look like it was custom coded for you by a developer that you hired. Of course, it wasn't. You did it all yourself, which is the magic of Squarespace. You don't need anyone's help. And you can even bring in contributors to help you add content to your website, to your blog. Squarespace is constantly updating everything with new updates, new features, new integrations, and different services that you can integrate. So if you want to like connect like a shipping service to help you ship your e-commerce orders, which by the way, an e-commerce website is available as part of your plan. You can do that. Head on over to squarespace.com/cultcast to get started. You can do a 2-week free trial, build a website, see how you like it. And if you like what you have at the end of the trial, use code cultcast at checkout. You'll save 10% off your first order. Plus, if you order a year of service, you get a free domain name and an additional discount. squarespace.com/cultcast. Leander Cady. Oh, Leander Cady, he's over there. He's going to rip his shirt off for us. And he's going to talk about free speech.
Oh.
It's what I've been waiting for all day. Bust that shirt off, Leander Cady.
That was
so
quite,
many tweets about this, didn't we?
Yeah, and that was quite the episode, yeah.
And on the Reddit board, there's a lot of, looked like a lot of people were split. You know, a lot of people saying like they appreciated the discussion, and then yeah. Some that were just like, I can't believe you and Lewis defended Alex Jones.
Yeah, we got a lot of that. And for the record, it's hard when you're talking about free speech and you use an example to not get corralled into defending the specific speech of your example, right?
Right.
Because my argument was always, I know that he said some things that seem crazy or evil, depending on what you think his intentions are. But I think free speech should be protected for everyone, regardless of what they're saying, unless it's a specific call to violence. I know some of you don't agree with that. That's okay. But I'm just trying to clarify. That was my argument. I'm not trying to defend anything that he was saying, because I even admitted it in the episode. I don't even know everything that he said. My maximum exposure to him was hearing about him talking about how chemicals are turning the frogs gay, which is a scientific fact. and then also him on the Joe Rogan podcast. And it was like a 3-hour, maybe 2-hour podcast. And they were drinking and smoking pot. And it was a wild ride, man. It was like being at Magic Mountain.
Alex Jones smoked pot?
Yeah, Joe Rogan.
Wasn't he worried that would turn him gay or something? Like, I feel like that's against
that's
like
fluoride,
his ethos.
Yeah, it's fluoride.
Oh, fluoride. Just fluoride. Okay.
Yeah, there's definitely... All right. That's what the fluoride does if you get too much. It was an entertaining podcast. Say what you will about Alex Jones. He is an entertaining and charismatic figure. Now, you might think he's crazy. I think he probably is. But, you know, there's a reason a lot of people listen to him, and I think that it's probably because he's so energetic. I mean, when you watch his content, I'm like, man, this guy's vitamins must work. Because how do you have that much energy to rip your shirt off and scream in every single episode? He must have to get cortisone shots in his vocal cords, too.
Just snorts pre-workout.
He's snorting something, dude. He doesn't even take his vitamins. He just crushes them up, and he snorts them. Any thoughts? Because I'm doing all the talking here. Leander, you wanted to talk about this.
Well, I was trying to get a word in edgeways, yeah. But
yeah, sorry.
No, just that, you know, like it was fun to see all the reactions. Like I said, it was sort of 50-50. People were definitely split, you know, about how they feel about this. I mean, I think I've been thinking about it all week. And do I feel happy about Apple and all these big tech companies becoming being the gatekeepers to what is essentially the entire internet? I'm uncomfortable with it, but on the other hand, I'm
uncomfortable with people like Alex Jones.
Right.
Yeah, I think he crosses a line. I think he becomes, of course, a lot of conservatives are saying that this is a conservative voice that's being censored. Mm-hmm. And this shows the liberal biases of Silicon Valley. But I don't think he's not, you know, it's not like they're banning Hannity. It's not like they're banning Fox News. It's not like they're banning any one of it, you know, of dozens and dozens of different conservative political commentators. He's way out there on the edge, and his speech I think definitely crosses over from opinion about political matters into very, very personal, targeted harassment campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't he also the guy that made up the pizza shop conspiracy where they were selling little kids into sex rings or something like that? And
right.
He was attached to
it. I don't
know
if he made it up.
I don't think he made that up.
He promotes it though. He definitely promotes it. Yeah.
And I think, yeah, you're allowed to have, we all have free speech. You're allowed to say whatever you want. But also, as a company, Apple has free speech to say we don't want this on our platform. Like, you're not entitled to putting your stuff on some on a different company's product if they don't want to allow that, you know?
Well, Apple doesn't allow pornography.
Well, we're really what we talked about last week. Yeah, I'm like, I just gotta be quiet. Like, we're drawing me back in. Yeah. What were you going to say, Leander?
I'm just reiterating, you know, Buster's point, like Buster says.
Yeah. And I guess my perspective is, and I don't mean to speak for you, Lewis, but it kind of seemed like your perspective was that free speech should protect even the language that you don't like. And I'm alarmed, and I said this last week, I'm alarmed that a tech oligopoly now has total control of whether or not you get to be on the internet. I mean, look at what happened to Alex Jones. You see how quickly he was banned from... I mean, dude, his Pinterest page was taken down. I mean, what was the dude using Pinterest for? He was probably not even using Pinterest. Was he pinning photos of gay frogs? You know, like... It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it kind of seems like once Apple made that decision, a lot of people were deciding to take him down for reasons other than things that he was saying. They just didn't like
him. Well, Apple gave cover, I think, to a lot of other companies. Like, you know, I think if MailChimp had tried to go after Alex Jones, there would have been an SHIT storm about that, and they would have been under a lot of attack. But Apple is big enough and powerful enough that it gave cover to all these other companies. And I think all these other companies have been thinking about it or wanting to do it. At least this is what they said, you know, in the aftermath.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it just, you know, Apple's big enough to give cover to a lot of other places to follow their lead.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. People were like, quick, we got to get our rejections in now. Apple's giving us cover. I have been thinking about an example all week that I thought was interesting. And Apple banned him because of hate speech. And I was saying, what does hate speech even mean? And some of you tweeted at me your definition, what you thought it was. And that's great. But I feel like there's no set definition. And I was thinking, you know, think about how many tracks on iTunes have people saying the N-word, people denigrating women, people speaking hatefully about minorities. And not only does Apple allow it, they profit from it. And so here you have an instance where they say, oh, we're getting rid of him for hate speech. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But if you're going to be consistent, shouldn't you be going through your iTunes tracks and getting rid of any that mention the N-word? I mean, is that not the most terrible word in the English language?
This is a straw man.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is. Because when Kendrick Lamar says it, it's a completely different meaning. It's a completely different meaning.
Some people still consider it hate speech. I know black people that hate that word regardless of who says it. Well, of course.
No one likes it. But I mean, you know, black people use it because they're harnessing its power. I mean, it's a word that denigrates black people. And when black people say it, they're recapturing their humanity.
But not all black people feel that way. I mean, some do, but I know some that don't, and they hate that word regardless, and they wish that it wasn't used in so much rap. I know, it depends. That's exactly my point, is one man's hate speech is not another man's hate speech, you know?
Apple was going to be consistent, it would have to go... That's BS. That's totally rubbish. Alex Jones saying that, you know, Sandy Hook parents are crisis actors, it's straight up bullshit and defamation, and it's completely and utterly inhumane against those people. It's awful. It's absolutely inconscionable. And he is an amusing character, and he does say some funny shit when he's smoking pot and Seth Rogen, but he's a fucking animal. He's a beast. He's a filthy pig of a human being. He's been profiting off this shit for years. And fuck him. I mean, really. I hope he.
I know. You want him to die. We know.
It's worse than that. It's worse than that.
I know. You want him to die, and you want him to be Satan's slave. But I know.
It's not like, you know, it's not. I don't like fucking Hannity. I don't like, you know, any of those right wing Fox News commentators. I fucking hate them all. But I will, like you said, defend their reason for free speech. That's one of America's greatest, in the Constitution. Free speech is super, super important. And like you said, the ACLU, right? You know, they've defended Nazis. They've gone to court to defend the Klan. For Klan marches. The SLU is completely and utterly opposed, I would have thought, to the Klan, but they've gone to court to defend the Klan's right to march and to have free speech. It's totally, totally important. But I think someone like Alex Jones is cynically, consciously, knowingly, utterly, you know, like despicably profiting off of, you know, lies that target individuals and people and groups, you know. it just goes beyond like his ability, his, you know, to express his opinions. It's so cynical and so it profiteers off of like the foulest lies. It's so toxic.
I don't know. I honestly don't know if what, when he says things about, like, let's use Sandy Hook as an example, because that's clearly one of the worst things that he's talked about. I don't know if he believes it or if he is trying to profiteer. I think that he believes it. Like, I think he's just kind of a nut.
Yeah.
And I heard someone make this argument. If you think that he's a nut and you want to take him offline because he says nutty things, are we going to censor other people who say nutty things who are kind of nuts? Do people who say things that are nutty not deserve to have a platform to speak on? Should we censor those people too? That's why, and this is kind of ultimately where I lie, the battle for free speech takes place at the fringes. It's where people say the weird things, the hateful things, the things that you don't like, the things that you think are terrible. Those are the people that you end up defending because they say the things that people don't like, which is why they have their speech is under attack. If you're saying things that everyone agrees with, you don't need any defense. So ultimately, if you're going to protect free speech, you have to side with people who are saying things that you don't necessarily like. And that's why I think the fight for free speech is important, even in Alex Jones' case. I know many people don't agree with those sentiments. We heard from those people on Twitter this week, and that's great. I enjoyed hearing everyone's opinion. And I've done some more research into Alex Jones, and I know more of what he has said, and especially regarding the Sandy Hook stuff, which oddly was hard to find. Like, there's not a lot of information out there about what he actually said. Like, there's a lot of people who talk about what he said, but it's hard to get actual quotes of things that he specifically said, which you would think those would be everywhere, right? Anyway, he said some weird things. And as a parent, I could definitely see the case of the parents who are like very traumatized over this. And I can see why they want to sue him, because I can't imagine going through what those parents are going through and then having someone say that the experience that you're having is somehow fake, you know, in any way.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I think it's, you know, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, you do have a good point, and you should be an ACLU lawyer. My God.
Hey, do you know what they get paid?
I bet it's more than to get paid for the f***ing cold cast.
I might even just be their janitor, just every once in a while pop in and be like, hey, here's what I think about free speech.
Right.
That might be what I'm more qualified to do. Anyway, so thanks to everyone who kept it civil on Twitter. Some of you were angrier than others, but many people were civil and reached out and had good points. So we talked about this for too long. Let's move on. Let's talk about the Apple car. There was a story that came out this week, and the only reason we're talking about it is because it came from the man with a sterling reputation, a Ming-Chi Kuo.
Oh.
It's cold, but it comes from him. He has almost like 100% record.
Yeah. He's extremely accurate.
Wouldn't believe this story if it didn't come from Ming-Chi.
Right. No.
If this was from DigiTimes, we wouldn't even be talking about it right now. Leander, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you want to cover the basics of the story? Because you seem to have been informed about
okay
this.
Sure yeah. So Ming-Chi said that Apple is to launch an Apple car in 2023 to 2025. According to Kuo, Apple will launch the Apple car sometimes between those dates, and he said in a recent note to investors, quote, we expect that Apple car, which will likely be launched in 23 to 2025, will be the next star product. The reasons for this are as follows. One, potentially huge replacement demands are emerging in the auto sector because it is being redefined by new technologies. Two, Apple's leading technology advantages, like AR, would redefine cars and differentiate Apple Car from peers products. Three, Apple services will grow significantly by entering the huge car finance market via Apple Car. And four, Apple can do better integration of hardware, software, and service than can current competitors.
All those things are true.
Yeah, the thing that stuck out for me was that the services through the car finance market. I hadn't heard that discussed before.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, Apple could launch its car just as a service instead of one that you buy. Like, we've talked for a long time about autonomous cars being in fleets, and you just subscribe to like the fleet. What if you just have an Apple Car subscription and it picks you up all the time because it has access to your iPhone and all your data and everything. Yeah. So it would be like the best company to do something like that.
I'd be in a much better financial position to do that
than to buy an Apple car.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because he says it's going to be the next star product, which if you think about how large the car market is, especially in the U.S., I mean, every single person has a car. I think he probably is right, but not everyone in that market is able to afford even a brand new car, period. Oh,
like even the Tesla's $30,000 car is way out of reach for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm not buying brand new $30,000 cars.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more of like a $7,000 car.
Well, you don't buy a $30,000 car, do you? You finance it. You know, you put down a deposit and then you pay for it over the next...
Just like
which,
an
if you do that once, you learn, oh, I'm never doing that again. That was horrible having a car payment for five years.
That's why I would much rather... That's exactly why I don't have a car payment. Yeah. I'm like, I'd rather save my money and buy a cheap car and not have to have a payment than spend $500 a month, which... I don't know how many people actually finance their cars. I'm guessing it's a lot. People who like buy new cars and finance them. I mean, having that payment hanging over your head every month.
Oh,
I mean, you did it.
Yeah. It was a really dumb idea.
Yeah. Right. Especially once the car is like 3 years old and you're still making the same payment.
Oh, you're just like, oh, I don't know if this thing's going to explode on me randomly someday. Just, you know.
Yeah. But you know, these days, I mean, most cars, they have like, isn't it like 100,000 mile warranties?
Do they?
Yeah, like I could have gotten mine came with like a 40,000 mile warranty, and you can buy the 100,000 mile warranty, which costs like another
$3,000,
$150 a month on top of your car. Yeah. Price,
that seems pretty steep.
Yeah,
I bought one. I can't remember what it was, but I don't think it was as high as that.
This is right around the corner. I mean, it's 2018. We've got 4 months left.
See, and I've heard this before. It was like in 2015, it was, oh, Apple's coming out with a car in 2020. And now that 2020 is close to here, it's like, oh, wait, it's going to be like another 5 to 6 years.
It's clearly gone through a lot of, birthing pains, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like every Apple product has this. But the current, narrative right now is that they've dropped it, that they're not going to make a car at all. They're going to make some software, based upon some stupid shuttle between Infinite Loop and Apple Park. And they're going to sell the software to car manufacturers, which just sounds like completely ridiculous. That's like the Microsoft model of business. Yeah. Apple's a hardware company. They integrate hardware, software, and services. I mean, I always thought that those stories were kind of like, I wonder if they were planted. The last one was in the New York Times, wasn't it, a couple of months ago, when they said that this thing is like on life support. All we've heard is rumors, and all the rumors have been saying that are being denials. That Apple isn't doing a car, but it goes against Apple's DNA. Like, I never believed any of these stories, even though they were sourced. They were from reputable news organizations like the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Bloomberg. Mark Gurman has chipped in on this. They come from good sources, but it always seemed like, I don't know, they always just didn't read like the Apple that we know and love.
I don't know what to believe anymore, because I had completely given up on Apple ever building a car. It seemed like they were disbanding their Project Titan team and working on the bus, the camping bus shuttle, as we talked about in a previous episode. But hearing it come from Ming-Chi Kuo makes me think, okay, they are clearly working on this, because he's never wrong. He's almost never wrong. I'm just guesstimating. I think he probably has a 90% track record.
He usually has like the product lineup, like right. Usually like maybe some dates or key details of the products are sometimes wrong, but like overarching picture, usually he always has it pretty solid.
Yeah.
There was also another piece of news this week that we didn't talk about, which is that Apple has rehired Doug Field.
Right.
For the Titan Car project.
Yeah.
And he was at Tesla. And he was in charge of their, production.
Model 3.
Well, yeah, right, the production. But, the production line for the Model 3, which actually has been kind of like an amazing feat of, engineering, because they've really cranked up the output.
Yeah.
Even though, Tesla's been way behind. Yeah, and... oh my God, what's his name? Musk, promised this. How long was it? When did he promise that we're going to get up to, 5,000 vehicles a month?
I thought it was like 500,000 vehicles in the first year or something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
They just hit their monthly goal for the first time.
Wow.
But even that is kind of an amazing feat, because they're outselling. The Model 3 is now selling more BMWs, Mercedes, Audis, and all these other high-end cars put together every month.
It's selling that many models.
Yeah,
I had no idea it was selling that well.
It is something astonishing. But
aren't they struggling to like for cash flow too at the same time?
Well, I think they have all kinds of problems. And yeah, this is like, you know, he was tweeting out that he wants to take Tesla private.
Yeah.
He wants
to I don't know how Elon Musk hasn't had a heart attack. That guy, can you imagine the amount of stress he's under at all times?
Yeah.
He's got SpaceX. They're trying to build reusable rockets. He's got Tesla selling cars they can't even manufacture, trying to figure all that out.
He's also building tunnels.
He's building
Hyperloops.
Flamethrowers. I mean, the flamethrower business. My God, that's
like a billion-dollar business right there.
Right.
Actually, I kind of want one of those flamethrowers.
They sold out like within like the first day, right? Like they had like $55 million worth of orders like within the first day.
Unbelievable. I mean, what are they doing with that money? What was that for?
I think it was for like funding. Like
funding for Tesla?
Yeah, for the Boring Company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a video on YouTube of one of those flamethrowers. I mean, what kid does not want to own a flamethrower when he's growing up, right? You see movies and stuff, people using flamethrowers, lighting things on fire.
Buy a can of hairspray and a lighter, and you can make your own.
I used to do that when I was a kid. We used to go around my neighborhood, and we used to light things on fire. And I remember we would spray giant words onto fences and light them on fire. This is the kind of stuff I did for entertainment when I was a kid. Yeah, I'm surprised I don't have a police record.
What's the statute of limitations on that?
Hopefully like 5 years max. We never burnt anything down. You know, because you light it on fire and it goes out. It doesn't stay on fire for 5 or 6 hours. It doesn't burn the whole fence down. It just makes a cool word and then it goes out. But this is what happens when you're a teen in the boonies and you don't have a car. I mean, you got to light this stuff on fire for fun. What else is there to do? You drink and you light stuff on fire. Pretty much my entire youth.
Adolescence,
exactly.
And here you go. This is why I ended up on a podcast like the Cultcast.
Exactly. This is why I'm not a lawyer at the ACLU. Anything else to add on the car stuff? I think it's pretty exciting news.
Yeah, you know, but I want, you know, like going back to the thing that Buster said, like, is it going to be like, you know, something that you subscribe to? I don't know. You know, like, I think Apple's going to make a product that they want you to buy. They're not going to make a fleet of these things.
I think I agree with you. It doesn't seem like Apple style just to lease something to you. And car companies are messing with that whole...
But like I say, Uber doing that, and then the car company's doing that.
But isn't Uber going out of business?
I think Apple's going to be like one of the last holdouts, like to make a you know, like a high-end car that you own yourself. Isn't Uber going out of business?
Uber. Isn't Uber going out of business? I heard they were.
Well, they're in trouble, I think. You know, okay. They're losing money. Their self-driving car project is bleeding cash.
Hmm. Yeah, well, everyone's trying to do it, and everyone's trying to research their own methods to do it, and only Apple has the bucks just to pour as much money as they want into that without having to worry about if it actually comes to fruition. Well, they can waste billions of dollars, and it won't matter.
Well, right, but, you know, I think the funny thing is that they're all going to get their asses, you know, handed to them by scooters, electric scooters.
What?
Yeah.
That's some crazy talk. You think we're all going to be riding around on scooters instead of cars?
Yeah, especially in the city. I'd much rather ride like a bird scooter across town than I would like have an electric car.
If you buy an electric car, are you serious?
Because you're going to be buying into all the same old problems, right? You're going to have to get expensive insurance, expensive car. You know, you got the monthly payments, like you say. Whereas you could just get an app and you could just like hop on a scooter and I could be downtown in like 5 minutes and I could dump the thing off or throw it in a bush and no one would care. You know, like it is the perfect transportation solution for a city like this, like San Francisco. That's what you need, not a big electric car. Like, why do you want to be running around in 3 tons of metal? You know,
because it's safer than an electric scooter. Because if somebody goes through an intersection and I'm on my electric scooter, Buster's dead.
Well, that's true. That's
not only
point.
Is he dead, he's dead over there. He's dead over there. He's dead over there too.
That's a good point, but you know, like they stick in some infrastructure for bikes and scooters and electric skateboards and stuff like that, which they are doing, protected bike lanes. You know, it's much for a place like this is much better. Like Lewis always brings up, like in rural areas, it's not a solution. Like if you live in a rural area, which a lot of America does, you know, you're going to need something that's a little more robust than a scooter. But for something like a city, the scooter's perfect. That's where Uber's getting all this money from these days. It's like, you know, for its bike share project.
I didn't know they were doing a bike share project.
Yeah, they bought the parent company that does the Ford Go bikes.
Huh.
I forget what it's called. But yeah, so is Lyft as well. They're all doing that. You know, like this sort of shared... I mean, it looks as though at the moment, you know, in a city, if you live in a city like San Francisco, it seems like shared transportation is like, that definitely seems like the future.
Seattle probably too. And actually, I'm with you on the shared scooters, especially in metropolitan areas. You could just drop them off wherever you want. You don't have to find a parking spot, because that's the thing with a car. You got to park it somewhere, and it's expensive to park in the city. And if you could just get off a scooter right in front of your location and walk into the door, that's pretty appealing. Plus, yeah, scooters are fun. And let me just say one last thing. I would pay good money to see Leander riding around on an electric scooter. That would make my day. There goes Leander on a scooter.
I've done it. It's pretty graceful.
Really?
Yeah. I can hop off without even stopping.
I want to see you do some tricks, like some ollies and stuff. Oh, I bet you can get pretty good on that thing.
I'm a bit old for that.
Okay, so let's at least mention this Power Mat story before we move on, because we got a potential price on a Buster. You want to drop the price on me?
$150.
Anyone
sounds about right to me.
It sounds a little bit lower than I was expecting.
Oh, really? You were thinking more than that?
Sheesh. But my question to you guys, anyone willing to drop $150 for an iPhone/Apple Watch charger?
Oh.
Not a chance.
Too much money.
Not a chance.
For a super slow charger? Where you have to like spend hours like positioning your phone exactly right.
Well, that's one of the things that's not going to be right. I mean, supposedly you can just toss it on anywhere. I mean, that's the big thing they're trying to fix, I think.
They said it's just packed with like these individual charging coils, and so you should be able to place like your technology pretty much anywhere on the surface. You know, Apple's going to work that part out later.
Yeah.
Was that is that why they're delayed?
That and like there was heat delays, I think, from like the coils. Is supposedly heard while you were on vacation like a month or two ago.
Yeah. So, I don't know. $150, that's a little bit rich for me just for an iPhone charger. I mean, look, if I were making as much money as Elon Musk, I'd put one in every room of the house. But for a guy with a sub $10,000 car, you know, I'm thinking that might be a little bit too much money for me. So, I'm probably going to pass on the charger. But hopefully, Leander will get one so he can tell us what it's like living the good life. All right, let's see here. Before we move on, I got to give a quick thank you to Campaign Monitor for supporting this week's episode. When it comes to email marketing, Buster, there's so much more that goes into creating smart, effective campaigns than what meets the eye. That's why Campaign Monitor created an easy-to-use email marketing platform complete with simple drag-and-drop email editor and award-winning 24/7 customer service. Campaign Monitor gives you everything you need to run beautifully designed, professional email marketing campaigns to grow your business and become the next Elon Musk. With their gallery of beautiful, professionally designed email templates, all of which look amazing on every device, you're bound to find something that will make your brand pop. I should have put some extra P on that. You like that?
Yeah.
I think I got your face wet. Sorry. And since Campaign Monitor uses detailed lists and smart segments, your messages instantly drive more engagement. No wonder it's used by more than 250,000 businesses worldwide, and it's rated highest in customer satisfaction among major email marketing software vendors. To start smart and build a beautiful email newsletter today, try Campaign Monitor for free at campaignmonitor.com, campaignmonitor.com. You know what I just realized? It doesn't matter if I get you a little bit spritzed over there. It just goes right into the beard.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just gone within moments. Oh, goodness. Okay. Let's move on into the last segment. Our favorite, not even our favorite, our most crucial technology that we use every day, our most loved gadgets. I asked everyone to come up with two things. I'm hoping that you guys did. Buster, you got something hot?
I'm right now.
He's looking on the internet. He's like, I want to go last. And I've got two very good ones. One you've heard about before and one you have not.
Ooh.
So would anyone like to go first? Lewis or Buster? Or I mean Lewis or Leander?
Lewis, you haven't said a word this entire podcast.
That's not true. I chortled.
You did chortle several times.
I started to say something and then I couldn't because there's no way to shoehorn a word in. I'll go first. What?
Well, this is the kind of podcast where you're going to butt in. Butt in.
Okay.
You just got to cut us off. Especially me, man. I'm like a tractor. Once I get going, you just got to jump in front and hope you don't get squished. Sorry. Go ahead, Lewis.
Okay. I think I maybe even talked about this before, but honestly, this is the one thing that like right now I can't live without. And it's become painfully obvious to me that I can't live without it because it has a slight, it's an app and there's been a slight bug in it lately that's just driving me crazy.
It's not the Italian food app, is it?
No, that one I can live without. No, it's an app called Lose It, which I think I talked about before.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
I can. That's okay.
As a long time ago, we can better remember.
It doesn't matter if you talked about it before. These are things that even if you talked about them before, you like so much, you're still using.
Yeah, okay. So it's a free weight loss app, and it will change your life, assuming you're a fat ass.
I doubt any of our listeners are fat, Lewis. They're probably in very good shape, but continue, please.
I don't like to think that I look like a eggplant or a apple, although when I went to this doctor maybe 6-8 months ago, she actually said to me, you got the apple body. This is the first time I meet this doctor, right?
She said, surgeon. You got apple bottoms?
She goes, you got an apple body shape. You're obese. You should weigh 150 pounds. And I'm like, 150? whoa, just met you. Excuse me. Hey.
By the way, that will be $300.
Yeah. Only a $50 copay.
I know, $50 copay. 50 bucks is to be told you're a big fat blob.
Full abuse.
Yeah, it's like going to see Andrew Dice Clay, yeah.
It was, I mean, honestly, I was like, this is a little bit like Donald Trump. I mean, she was completely blunt, and I walked out of there like, whoa, what? And well, actually, I walked.
What does she mean an apple body, though, right?
I've heard of like a pear-shaped body or whatever. I mean, I guess what she meant was, my
round.
Belly was big, right? I had fat around my belly.
Right.
Still do. She said you should weigh 150 pounds. At the time, I weighed 180, 185, 190, depends on the day,
right?
Not
that much, yeah.
And I was like, wow, 40 pounds, 35, is she out of her mind? And so I go home and I start looking on the internet, as you do when you're terrified and curious. And I start looking at all these, the different medical scales, or not like scales you weigh, but charts or graphs or whatever, to say, okay, here's what a person your height, your age, your gender should weigh. And honestly, 150 was the high end of any of them. Most of them said 135.
How tall are you, Lewis?
I'm 3'2".
Okay, that explains many things. Yeah,
no, I'm 5'6".
Okay, and, all right. Because 150 is not very high, even for 5'6". I mean,
I thought she was off her rocker, but you know what? I think she was right. And so anyway, this is a long, long, long lead up.
Okay,
so
yeah.
The first thing I do after taking the blood test and getting diagnosed as being pre-diabetic, and that's what really put the fear in me. I downloaded this app called Lose It. It's totally free, and it's recommended by Apple. And so what I start doing is I every single thing I eat, I tap it into this app. If it's a bowl of cereal, I weigh out exactly how much it is, or measure it out with a measuring cup. If I'm making a sandwich, I put in exactly how much mayonnaise or ketchup I use. It's that ridiculous, right? And when you first start out, it's like it feels almost intolerable. Like, oh my God, really?
It sounds terrible.
Am I going to be doing this for But the thing is, you buy a couple of things. Like I bought a scale, a kitchen scale that I could weigh my food on. I bought some measuring spoons and measuring cups so I could really accurately. And you know what? You get good at it. And after a while, it just becomes kind of second nature. And maybe you tend to eat a lot of the same things, and you can put in like a meal that you had yesterday. You can just copy it over. So sometimes it takes a second.
Okay, how much have you lost, Lewis? This is so suspenseful. You're saying this app is so great. Now you got to tell us, how much did you actually lose?
Right now, I'm sitting at about 152 pounds.
That you've lost?
So you lost like 30 pounds.
Yeah. Maybe. I lost 152. Now I weigh 33.
Well, 40.
No,
he's totally different. Like Lewis looks completely different.
Really? Wow,
he does. He's like a thin slither of his former self. He's very, very svelte.
And you contribute your success to this app helping you track what you eat?
100%.
Wow,
it's absolutely the only thing. And I mean, I already I did like, 20 minutes a day on the elliptical many days. I have stepped that up a smidgen, I try and do that every day. But hey, 20 minutes on the elliptical, I mean, it's really a brisk walk, yeah. Right? I mean,
you can't out-exercise.
But Lewis had been doing that before he started counting calories, and it had made no difference. Right.
Yeah, counting the calories is the key. And what is so, I mean, it's such a simple thing, but what it's doing, it's basically an educational app. It's showing you and forcing you to realize how many calories are in the things that you eat on a daily basis. And if you follow it, what you do when you download the app, you put in your ideal weight, your target weight, and you put in how much you weigh, and you tell it how much weight you want to lose a week. I think I put in a pound a week or something like that. And then it gives you a calorie count that you should hit every day. And, I'll be honest, the first few days, that was a little bit like eye-opening. Whoa, what, really? But then you start, what's great about it is then you start realizing, oh, okay, well, if I only put, a half a teaspoon of mayonnaise on this sandwich, or better yet, use something else instead, ketchup instead. I can change what I eat, and I can make decisions about it, and start to eat better in general. And for instance, one of the most mind blowing things to me, after mayonnaise, was how many calories are in a cocktail.
Oh
my God. Or a beer. Beer, right. Beer, my beloved beer.
I don't know. Who cares?
Some of these better beers are 230 calories a pint.
Whoa, holy.
You start drinking three or four of those on darts night, next thing you know, you're a fat ass. Anyway.
Okay, so the Lose It app, got it. It's free.
It is free.
It's helped Lewis become the svelte slither of a man that he is today with his perfect 8-pack.
I got to tell you, it is something kind of remarkable because Lewis, remember that picture you showed me, Lewis?
Oh my God!
He went and got a passport photo, and it was almost a year to the day, right? When you got a previous one.
Yeah, it was an international driver's license photo. Okay. But yeah,
and so the previous one is like you look like a big guy.
You look like an apple?
I look like something that got dragged out of a pond. I look like a floating corpse. It was a little bit astonishing. And
big double
the new
chin,
one's like,
big fat cheeks.
And jeez, Leander, take it easy over there.
Well, I want to paint a picture. Speech. That was the one before, and then the updated one is you see cheekbones, no jowls,
slim, sexy.
No double chin. Yeah, no, but it's really striking because I've been Lewis and I work in the same office, so the change has been gradual.
Yeah,
but he has really been transformed, like half the size he used to be. In how many months, Lewis? And it's not quite a year, is it?
I started right around the first of the year, like so many dieters.
So 8 months you've been working on this.
Yeah, and he's literally half the size he used to be.
That's crazy. So just a couple pounds a month then.
Yeah, really? It adds up. I mean, it really does add up. And
the other thing that's really powerful about this thing, like I was saying, you start to understand what you should be eating, right, and how much you should be eating. And the big test for me that was really kind of it gave me a lot of hope is I went to Spain and Portugal for a couple of weeks. And the big problem with eating in general is you go to a restaurant and you have literally no idea how many calories are in something, right? But after doing this for a while, you start to get a feel for it. And I went over there and I, drank wine every day, morning, noon, and night, just about ate delicious food. But I was more cognizant of what, I ought to be eating. And, my stomach's probably shrunk too. But and on that trip, I mean, I didn't track anything during that trip. I took 2 weeks off of it. I came back. I had gained like a pound or something like that.
Wow.
I went to Vegas for the darts thing for 3 or 4 days.
60
gained
pounds?
Like four pounds. It's like, because, again, there, you can't really track it if you're out and about. You don't have your scale. You don't have your this. I mean, yeah, if you go to McDonald's, maybe it has a calorie count. But most places, there is no calorie count. You're sort of on your own. So anyway, I recommend it 100%.
And what's your second pick? You got to make it quick, though, so the rest of us can.
Second pick? Okay. Yeah. my second pick is the Ultimate Ears Mega Boom. I don't know if you guys know these speakers. They're Bluetooth speakers. The Mega Boom is it's about the size of a tall boy beer, you know, about the size of a 24-ouncer. I listen to most stuff on AirPods, Amazon Echo, and HomePod, you know, kind of in that order. But many, many situations when the Mega Boom is a total godsend. It sounds great, totally durable Bluetooth speaker. It's waterproof. It's drop-proof. I mean, they call them life-proof. First time I ever got one of these things, first time I ever saw one, you know, one of their VPs came in to demo it at Cultamac offices, and you know, he's telling me about how durable they are, and he just takes the thing. After talking to me for a while, he's standing there and, you know, telling me how great it sounds or letting me hear how great it sounds. He just, like, tosses it up in the air and drops to the ground on the concrete floor. And it's like, ah!
Whoa.
I think I probably whimpered like that. I mean, I couldn't believe it. But, and then he picks it up and it works. It works fine. You know, they're really, really durable. And especially the Mega Boom. The Boom 2 is a smaller one. It's more like a 16-ounce beer. This one is more like a, you know, it's much bigger, but it really sounds awesome. And everybody I ever show it to loves it. It's great. You know, you take it outside, your phone connects to it instantly. It's got really, you know, good distance connection. It's a great speaker. And we don't talk about them enough. They make quality products.
They do make good stuff. Yeah. Okay. The Ultimate Ears Mega Boom. Leander, do you want to go next?
What? Okay.
Do you want to go next?
I think Buster was interested to go, right, Buster?
Oh, yeah, sure, I can go.
Okay, Buster, what do you got for us?
All right, I've mentioned both of these, I think, on the show before, but first one's the Anker Powerhouse. It's the giant...
Oh, dude, I just saw that in person.
Yeah.
It's a big boy.
Yeah, giant battery that powers everything in my van. It's just super useful too because it's got like the AC outlet and like four USB ports. So like when I go out with friends like for a weekend and we party, like that thing usually powers the party. Like you take it everywhere.
Buster brings the party.
Yeah, we string lights through it. Like we have
lights?
Everything. Yeah, like Christmas lights. Oh man, one party we had like, you know, like cheap Christmas lights that you can buy at Walmart for like $2.50 each. And we had like some hardcore double dutch going on with that thing like tied to it. Just
this is the life Buster lives.
Yeah, just out.
He's just playing double dutch with Christmas lights out in the boonies with his own power block.
We had this giant speaker called a soundbox like 2 weekends ago. It's just this gigantic speaker that you can take wherever, and it brought the party. Like we had a rooftop dance party on my van. Wouldn't have been possible without the Anker powerhouse.
All three of you.
Oh no! I had like
him and his two buddies.
It was ridiculous. I had
it
like
was great,
15
yeah.
people on top of the van at
that
one point.
Does not sound safe at all.
Oh yeah, I'll have to post videos because it was.
Although
ridiculous.
It's a cargo van, so it's probably meant to.
I was scared. Like I was like,
why are you on a van? Were you in like some swamp with a bunch of crocodiles? Or
no,
something?
It was just I don't know. It's just how it happened. It was. Van was part of the entertainment. It was part of the party. So.
You know those like ridiculous ads that you see for different like hard alcohols and magazines, like rum and stuff. Oh. And they're all like in these ridiculous scenarios in the outdoors. That's just what Buster does for his life.
That
now.
That is, yeah.
Like, partying on top of vans, Christmas lights in the desert. I mean,
it's all you need.
You gotta get some LED lights though.
Oh, I have an LED strip like from.
Oh, that's right. You pitched that thing. On for
your yeah, but it kind of shorted out. So we got
what?
Like, yeah, we got cheap. Just Christmas lights.
But
now.
Don't those things just suck the juice, man? I mean, they're like 100 watts.
I got enough juice. I got.
He's got all juice. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. He's got plenty of juice. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Okay. The Anker Powerhouse. What else?
Next, I'm going to have to say like the Moment lenses, the iPhone camera
You're
lenses
kidding.
That I use. Like I use those all the time now just because I don't have like a DSLR anymore.
Yeah.
And so I use them mostly for like filming. Like if I want a wide angle, you know, your video is usually like zoomed in more than your photo. So I usually use the wide angle Moment lens for like
I can't believe it,
video.
Dude.
Yeah.
Every time I see lenses for iPhones, like I always think these are such a gimmick. Who would ever actually use these? You might think you're going to use them. You'll use them for 2 weeks and then you'll completely forget about them.
Have you held the Moment lenses? Like
no.
They're
you
got to
show them to me before
yeah,
you leave.
Yeah, they're actually like decent, like they
quality.
Feel like high quality, not like the Olo clip, which was just like a cheap
can I see
piece
your,
of plastic.
Can I see your phone? Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Look at this. Real-time interaction. And this is the case. And you just pop it onto here.
Yeah, and you just
it doesn't
screw
even
it
look
onto
like,
the top. Doesn't look like an ugly
You know, that reminds
case.
Me. I think one of our listeners actually sent me one of these. I feel so bad. I need to...
Never even tried it?
No, I'm not even sure I have it. He sent it to my P.O. box, and I have to make sure that I actually have it. yeah, no, someone was nice enough to send me one. I'm not even sure I opened it, you know. That's cool. That's a cool case.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you... What the hell?
Yeah, I bust. That was that happened.
His iPhone 10 is busted in the front.
Yeah, that's Leander a shocker. Lewis.
Huge crack. Looks like it was shot with a BB gun.
I wish I knew how I did.
Oh my god!
I think busted. You need some. You need some bubble wrap. I mean that.
I know. I woke up after a party one day and it was cracked, and I was like, "Dang, I don't even remember how I did that."
Somebody just stomped on it as they were dancing on your phone.
What's the longest you've had gone without destroying your phone?
This one, I did well with this one. Like probably like 5-6 months before it broke. This one,
I have a stack of screen protectors like this thick. I should have just given you.
I've dropped my iPhone 10 a bunch of times and it hasn't cracked. I'm being totally surprised. I think it's pretty robust.
Yeah, same. And I think it's like $300 or something to get the screen replaced
for the iPhone 10.
I think so. I think it's crazy expensive.
Apple even let you have, the Apple front and back. Apple Care Plus.
Yeah, they've banned them for life.
I bet they banned you.
I should be like the sponsored like spokesperson for it. That's if anything,
right. You take full advantage of it. Do you actually have Apple Care Plus on your phone?
I didn't get it on this one. This is like the first one I didn't. No. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna treat this one really special.
They've got a glass one. Why do I need shirts for the glass one?
Yeah. Well, don't go to one of those secondhand places because I feel like every time I get a phone repaired at one of those places, it turns out that it doesn't work afterwards.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh. Yeah. Screen repair on the iPhone 10, $180 from
Damn,
Apple.
Damn, dude.
Jeez.
Yeah. Hey. I'll send you home with a R. screen R. protector in case you get your screen replaced and you want to protect it after that. Okay. Leander, are you ready
to go next? Buster's, you know, you got to check out Buster's Instagram. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
It's astonishing. These pictures are unbelievable.
Are there any pictures?
How come you're not a professional photographer?
I don't know. Somebody want to sponsor me, and I'll. Apple want to sponsor me. I just used
my Patreon, dude.
You need to start taking these pictures shot on an iPhone, you know, 10 with a.
With a moment
lens. Yeah.
And a cracked screen. So that's why the exposure's off, okay? Don't judge my glue hues on this one, okay?
Some of these photographs are absolutely astonishing. They are jaw-dropping. I've never seen. I've been looking at them the
Always
whole time.
Makes
we've
me
been
jealous.
The podcast. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's some good ones, especially if you like pictures of shirtless people.
Oh yeah, I got.
Then
lots
you definitely
got to
check it out.
Well, there's
Kickapoo.
They're all,
a lot of that's a real
boys.
Place.
Yeah, you know.
I didn't know that.
I don't tag real places on my pictures. Just don't want to like let everybody know. Exactly.
Oh, so this isn't actually a real place,
no.
Kickapoo, because it's from the Tenacious D song.
In fact, it's the opposite. These are all real places that you've never been. Right?
Well, yeah.
And they're all like, you know, like a bunch of them are within, what, 30, 40 minutes of Phoenix. But there's also
a lot of them,
Northern California. Like, I thought I'd seen a lot of Northern California, but there's a bunch of places here I've never seen. There's like some waterfall here. I'm like, where the heck is that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's probably the Royal George Hotel one.
It's because Buster actually goes out and explores stuff in his own city. How many people actually do that? Like, I never do, you know?
I have.
You have?
Oh. Yeah. But
why do you Photoshop in all the falling bodies,
I don't know
Buster.
This one.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, my God, it totally gives you wanderlust, though.
Yeah, it makes me want to quit doing this
they're
piece
all beautiful,
of crap podcast and go to Instagram for photography.
Yeah,
instead.
They're all amazing pictures. They're all really, really beautiful.
Yeah, there's
pictures.
A lot of good ones on there. Yeah, you got to plug your, what is it? Gila Shark. I always say it wrong. Shark.
Yeah, it's a G that's pronounced like an H.
Gila.
Yeah.
So GILASART.
K.
Yeah.
Gila Shark.
Gila Shark.
Oh, wait, I mean Shark. Gila Shark. Just say it the way it sounds. That way people can actually find it. Okay. Buster or Leander, do you want to go next? Or do you want me to go?
Okay, I'll go next. Well, my bike. I want to plug my bike. It's a Tarmac.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it's beautiful. And it's an amazing piece of technology.
I know it's beautiful. I'm laughing because it's like $55,000.
It cost me $3,500. And I got it used from some kid that used to race it for Stanford's race team, bike race team. It's probably, it was like 10 new, which is a lot of money. But this thing is astonishing. It's like got electronic shifting and disc brakes, and the thing just flies. It is so fast, and it is such a pleasure to ride. And I'm so blessed to live in such a great place to go bike riding in Northern California. You know, like I ride across the bridge. I'm in Marin.
It's like heaven.
Yeah, you know, it's 30, 40 minutes from the city, and you can be out in these great places to ride. And I just love riding. I just love riding a bike so much. I can't really get over it. I can't really explain how fantastic it is. I took a bunch of time off the bike because I was writing this awful Tim cookbook. And so I was on the bike. I was eating a bunch of rubbish. I put on a ton of weight. You know, I was kind of, I didn't do any exercising, and I just started riding the bike again. And so I took it out this last, I've been taking it like three weekends ago, and they've been super painful. And the last weekend was finally when I got back and I felt good riding the thing. And I, you know, I got all the way home without really, hating it. You know, I felt strong all the way. And, the thing is such a technological marvel though, you know, like I'm so in love with how all the technology that goes into making such a beautiful, lightweight, but super strong machine.
Well, you should mention it's like 100% carbon fiber, isn't it?
Well, and the wheels are carbon fiber. The frame is carbon fiber. The handlebars.
It's the most beautiful bike I've ever seen.
It's lovely. It is really lovely.
It really is. It's like a work of art.
It is. I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. It's a work of science. You know, like a lot of this is like space age. You know, research. Like carbon fiber was first. You know, was an aeronautical product. All this stuff is trickled down. Like it's, I do marvel at how you're able to buy this stuff. Like this stuff is like at a consumer level now. This is the kind of thing that, you know, the bike races race and the Tour de France and it is such a, it's a marvel, like how well this stuff, you know, they're able to make it and sell it. Like I think, you know, we were talking about the price. The price is amazing for what you get. It's so lightweight and it's so strong, so responsive, works so well. It's really, it's such a marvelous product. Like, like the iPhone, you know, I love Apple products because they're so well made and they're so well integrated. They're so well thought out. And I get the same feeling with a bike, you know, that it's so beautifully designed. And it's like 100 years of engineering thought and research and technology that is like being boiled down to this one thing.
So the culmination.
It is, yeah.
That's an interesting way of describing it. That makes it much more valuable too when you describe it.
Absolutely,
that way, because there's all this history behind
right.
it.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
What's the name of the bike, Leander?
It's a specialized S-Works Tarmac.
S-Works Tarmac. Tarmac.
T-A-R-M-A-C.
Okay, what's your number
two? Well, the number two, I don't know. I was kind of, you know, I want to say the iPhone, but you banned that, right? Because the iPhone definitely
is... Yeah, nothing. I said nothing. Don't pick something lame like your iPad or... You don't have to have number two.
We were talking about this at the beginning of the show, which, you know, some headphones. I mean, like, I've been playing around with headphones recently.
My favorite
headphones are these, and I pitched this before, I think, on a previous episode, but they're the Parrot Zix, Z-I-K. Like on their third generation now. You can pick up like a Zik 2, which is really good. I got these for like $130. I think they were originally $300 or maybe even more, $400. So they're selling these things off cheap on eBay. They are really great headphones. They are fantastic. They've got a real thump. You know, they've got a really strong, solid bass. And they just make things sound exciting. They make music mm-hmm. exciting. I really love these things. They're wireless, Bluetooth, with noise cancelling.
Oh, they get all the special perks built in.
They look a bit funky. You know, I don't think people like the design. They're designed by Philip Starck, the famous French designer. But they're really, really good headphones. I think they're the best headphones I've ever tried out. And I've tried, you know, Bose and Audis, Oppo.
All the good ones.
I mean, we've got some expensive headphones here in the office. The ones I'm wearing right now, like, how much are they, Lewis? $800 headphones?
$800, I think, yeah.
I think so.
And I think, you know, they're audiophile headphones because they're neutral. You know, they're completely neutral. They don't, you know, accentuate the bass or the treble. The Zix, I think, you know, have a stronger bass. They accentuate the bass a bit more. And I like them because of that. You know, they're more emotional.
Yeah, I guess it kind of depends on what kind of sound signature you're going for, because a lot of those really expensive headphones, they do kind of sound somewhat sterile.
Yeah. Kind of
and
flat.
You need a good amp, or you need a good headphone amp to really make them sing.
Yeah. Well, that's what the audiophiles want, because you can definitely hear the detail on these ones. You can hear the detail on the Zik ones too, though. That's what I like about them, because they don't lose anything. You can hear the midtones and the highs and the bass. It's not muddy. It doesn't overwhelm it. You can hear all that detail, and it's got a great soundscape. At the same time, it's got a big thump.
All right, the Parrot Zix headphones. I'll take us home. So I've got one thing that I've pitched before and one thing that's new. So I'm going to start with the thing that is new, and that is this little unit that I'm using right now to record the podcast on, and Buster and I are plugged into it to stream the audio to our online recorder as well, so we can have a backup. It's called the Sound Devices Mix Pre 6, and this is like a little tiny dynamo of a device. It's great for videographers. It's great if you want to do a podcast online or in person. It has some of the most high quality analog to digital converters that I've experienced. So you get very good sounding audio quality from it. It also has a really good headphone amplifier built into it. So if you wanted to listen to music on it, if you wanted to like plug it into your Mac and then use it as a headphone amplifier, you could do that. It has a recorder built in so you can record your audio. It also has four XLR inputs on it so you can connect a bunch of different mics to it. It also acts as a digital interface for your computer so you can plug in microphones to it, and it's a plug and play audio device on your Mac. So it just shows up and then your mics are sitting right there. So it has all these different uses and it sounds fantastic. It's so easy to use and adjust in real time. It has knobs on it so you can adjust your audio levels. It provides phantom power to all four XLR channels, which probably doesn't mean anything to a lot of people, but if you know anything about audio, you know that phantom power is important and you can control them per channel. It has a screen built in, a touch screen built in. It's built like a tank. I just love it. I've probably been using it maybe a year now. It just came out maybe in the last year. And it's about $800, so it's not cheap, but works very well. Oh, you can power it off your Mac, or you can plug batteries into it, and it will get like 3 or 4 hours of battery life on the go. So the thing is just eminently useful. And I find myself, it's become one of my most critical pieces of gear that I use to make YouTube videos, to make the Cultcast, and anything where I have to have really great sounding audio. And the second thing I'll plug, and I'll wrap up with this, my Fuji X-T1 camera. Didn't you used to have one of these, Buster?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude.
You're great.
I've owned Nikons. I've got a shelf of cameras right up to my right here. I've got a 5D Mark III. I've got an 80D. I mean, I've got some expensive cameras. And the Fuji X-T1, it cranks out beautiful images every single time in all sorts of different lighting situations. I think that's the thing that surprised me about it the most, is like even in direct sunlight, I'll take a picture and it dials back the highlights, it brings up the shadows, and it's able to create a beautiful image virtually every single time. It when I look at pictures of my family on my Apple TV, all my favorite ones are always ones that have been taken by this camera. It's small, it's lightweight, it's easy to use. And if you're looking for a lightweight camera that isn't going to break the bank, you can get this thing used with a lens for like $800 now. It's a steal at that price. They have a new one as well, the X-T2, that costs a little bit more. I think it's like $1,600. But I don't even know if it's worth upgrading to the X-T2 because this one works so well and it's so inexpensive. Again, it's the best camera I think that I've ever owned on so many different levels. And I've pitched it on previous shows, but I just keep taking pictures with it. And every time I take the computer or the pictures back to my computer, I never need to edit anything. They look great. I just pipe them into my Photos app and I'm ready to rock and roll. And so I'm just continually impressed with it. It's one of my most important pieces of technology. I use it probably
daily. What kind of lenses does it use?
It uses Micro Four Thirds lenses,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, because I got a bunch. So do you think you buy the body? How much does the body cost?
You could probably get the body used for $600.
Really?
Mm.
Yes.
I just bought a new... Olympus pen, which I like because
those are great cameras
too.
Yeah,
because they're so small. Well, I don't know. It's weird. People seem to be completely divided opinion about those. Like some people love them, and some people really hate them.
You don't get the light sensitivity with Micro Four Thirds sensors. They're usually not very good in low light scenarios, and you also don't get as shallow depth of field. But dude, I think it's good enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be any more shallow than it is on my camera.
I'm not a very good photographer, you know. Really, but I'm okay, but. You know, it takes great pictures for my purposes. And I like it because it's small.
Well, there you go. I think that's what's most important. Yeah. Although I bet you the Fuji would beat it. I mean,
well,
again,
the Fuji, I've read the reviews, and I've always been really tempted by that.
They have created all these different modes that emulate their different films that they've had over the years. And talk about a company with a long history of photography experience. And they emulate some of their most popular films very convincingly, I will say. Again, the thing I like about it the most is you don't have to mess with the photo when it's done. You just take a picture and it's just ready to put on Instagram. You can put it on your Photos app because it just takes such great pictures every time. Also, skin tones. I've never seen a camera get skin tones as accurate as the Fuji cameras do. So they have really amazing, beautiful
pasty,
color science.
Pasty British skin, really beautifully.
All the British
people will all think that you're Casper the Ghost. Leander the Big. Is that Casper?
Like, it looks sickly.
Is Leander still alive? Is that? Is he haunting you in that picture? Because he looks like he's dead there. You're like, no, that's actually
him.
California,
it's all sunny, but look, there's this pale, this really sickly looking pale guy.
There you have it. All of our most beloved technology that we actually use day in and day out. I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there because I can tell from the look on Buster's face, he's ready for a big old burrito. We're going to relive past times. We might go get a chocolate covered ice cream cone after this. Another quick thanks to Campaign Monitor for supporting this episode. Start building smart and beautiful email newsletters today. Try Campaign Monitor for free at campaignmonitor.com. All right, that's all the cool cast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come yell at us for any of the opinions we expressed on today's show, we're all on Twitter. Buster is BST3R. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Vander is at L. Kinney. I'm at Airfon. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. You take it, Buster.
Oh, next time. Peace next out, guys.
Oh, man. It's even better in person. So good in person.
We should start flying. Flying you guys in or flying us up there. Actually, there fly us up there because I want to go back to Ivar's.
It's really smoky, hazy up here, though, right?
Which is going to give you some great sun shots because the sun looks incredible.
I thought you meant in the studio.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a fire in here, too. All right. I think we're good then. So someone snoring?
Yeah.
Who's that, Lewis?
That's probably just Leander breathing.